In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hello and welcome to the Sunday special episode of the U Up Podcast. I'm Jordana Abraham.
And I am Jared Freed. It is so good to be here with you, Jordana. We love a Sunday special, a little bite-sized episode, easy to share. Tell a friend, tell a friend, tell a friend.
Tell a couple friends.
Tell a couple friends. Send this. You know, this is the time of year people are getting back in the dating game. This is like the care package. This is the, you bring this to, you know, your friend going through a breakup, put the U Up Podcast in the basket you bring to the Shiva call for their breakup.
Yes. It's about to be uncuffing season.
It's here.
Breakups are coming.
The weather gets nice. The weather outside is sunny.
Best season to be single. Single season.
It is a good single season. Yeah. Weather's changing. Birds are chirping.
It's an exciting time of year.
Bees are buzzing. Buzz, buzz, bitches.
Buzz, buzz.
That's right.
Gotta bring out your bee suit.
I'll bring it out.
I'll be the pollen. Okay.
We're playing some games.
Yes. Are you going anywhere?
I
want people to buy some tickets.
The road, jaredfree.com, jaredfree.com, jaredfree.com. I'm going. Listen, let me point out some dates. San Francisco. I love, you know, I love San Francisco.
I love San Francisco too. I feel like people talk a lot of shit about it.
Yeah, it's an easy thing to sound smart. It's like you can always take the moral high ground.
Oh,
the
homeless.
It's a hot take. Because if you listen, there's homeless is an issue this whole country. I see it every city I go to. But it feels like what happens is someone outside of San Francisco has the shot to sound smart and thoughtful by doing their whole San Francisco, and it is a problem. But that person who talks about it is never someone with a solution or they're just saying
just
it to say
saying
it.
Why they don't like San Francisco.
Right. It seems like and I go there and I'm like, this place is a painting. It is the most beautiful.
It is lovely.
It is, the food is good. The drinking's fun. Chinatown, Little Italy, the marina, the bridge that you an hour from Tahoe, you can do the mountains, the sea.
What more could you ask for?
It's expensive, sure.
This is the not
There's issues. Listen, you want to sit in the issues? We can find problems anywhere you look.
You can. Stop being so negative.
Yeah.
Us,
fuck you.
Us. Stop being so negative, both of us and everyone else.
I'm going to LA. I got a big show in LA.
Oh, yeah. Netflix is a joke, right?
The festival.
Love it.
I want to really pack that one out. It's a great show. I mean, the feedback I'm getting on this show is like a little bit much. Like, it is, I love the special, but I get people that, you know, they just love this version of what I'm doing on stage.
It's a great show.
Here's the thing that gets me so frustrated. Like, I am doing a relatable show. I would say that the key word is relatable for the stand-up.
Okay.
It's just, I can't go on TikTok or Instagram and do hashtag mom and dad and like find this rabid group of people that are angry. Oh, fuck mom, fuck dad, you know, like to like juice up the algorithm. So I feel a little bit like I'm drowning in the ocean sometimes. I don't
have
a group.
I hate when there's too much online when there's like a good special.
It gives away
all the good stuff.
None of the bits are online. Yeah. I agree with you. It's a whole new hour from the special. I don't know. Sometimes I feel like I'm so in the middle that we have no group. You know, this show.
Oh, I think you've got a following.
We got
to
listen. I just hope they're out there. I want, you know, I don't know.
They're
what do I represent?
Hard. When they're in, they're diehard. I mean, look how many weddings we're invited to.
We do get a lot of wedding invites.
That shows you everything you need to know about.
Would you ever go to one of these weddings?
I think if it were like local and
city wedding,
if it was a city wedding and I had nothing to do that weekend, if I'm being honest,
if I literally had nothing going on,
absolutely no plans, and you went also,
I would go. Yeah. If I were here, but I would. I don't want to do a set. I don't want to have the mic. I just want to like us sit in the corner,
yes.
Watch everything, watch the world go by. They and say eat. One thank you for coming. We eat.
Yes, we get maybe we get drunk.
A little, you know, sure. Couple drinks. Here's the perfect scenario for us.
Okay. Describe our perfect fan wedding.
Our perfect fan wedding is We show up in the middle of the cocktail hour. We get to see the cocktail hour food. We have a little nosh, and then we go to the big opening. Da, 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 yes. Da, 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 da. Oh! And everyone runs out. We see the wedding party. We get the judge. They do the speeches. We sit in the corner having some drinks. Band starts up big time, and then we kind of fade into the mist. And then we talk about it and judge it here on the podcast.
Yes. But then why would anyone invite us if we judge
their wedding? You get to hear an honest opinion. Oh. Don't you want an honest opinion on your wedding?
I got one from you, or I think it was honest. It was as honest as you would be to my face.
Mine was I would never lie to you. I would never lie to you about your wedding. Yes.
I forgot to ask you one more thing about your brother's wedding, which is now a month ago.
A month ago.
Were you involved in the horror? Were you up there pushing up the chairs?
Don't get me started on the horror.
I saw something I didn't fully understand it, a text chain from your family. Were you involved?
So it's something thank you for bringing this up.
I forgot to ask, because that's something I do want to know about. It's almost like an interesting thing about, I think if you're going to date someone, I'd like to know if they get in there.
Right. Are you a horror person or not?
Right. Are you helping?
Are you a passionate horror dancer?
And for those who are not Jewish, basically the horror is when you put the bride in a Jewish wedding, you put the bride and the groom on chairs and like
lift them up.
And all of the able-bodied men, supposedly.
I am not.
Are supposed to. The idea is that men kind of hoist you up. It's like a dance. It's like a
and everyone
it's like
holds
an 8-minute
hands.
Song, and then everyone dances around you. It's like a very, very, it's like a Jewish ritual at a wedding.
A wedding, but it's a celebratory dance.
Yes.
And you got circles going in both directions, and everyone's holding hands, and it is like you do feel Judaism in your veins, and people love it.
Yeah.
And people love it enough that I see it at non-Jewish weddings, and I go,
appropriating or
I'm not happy about this one.
But it's funny because when it starts to play, there are some people like run up to do the
thing. There are some
thing.
Men rolling up the sleeves, showing off the muscles. They're ready to lift someone up.
Right.
I am the opposite.
And we notice who's in there.
Yeah, I don't go in there. Okay. I'm
you don't go in there.
Generally, I stay in the back, and I want to be holding hands with the women.
Okay.
Women and children and me.
I'm
Billy Zane.
Do you feel like
holding
you need
a baby trying to get on an escape boat on the Titanic?
Please, please. Please,
let us on. I have a child. That's me. So my brother's wedding. So my mom's a passionate horror dancer. My mom loves the horror.
I get it.
Now
I'm grabbing hands with whoever's around me. My worst enemy is next to me. I'm just grabbing their hand.
I'm with you.
There you go. You're in the circle.
Here's the problem we had. The horror was probably the most underwhelming part of the wedding.
Okay.
Sadly, because we had a lot of people, Ruthie, my mom, who were really pumped about the horror. The beginning, you need someone who's confident in their Judaism.
Okay.
I'm not confident enough to know.
Again, the moment that you
what do we do?
The
who's the one putting hands together?
You need an alpha horror man.
You need an alpha or a woman. You need alpha horror.
Alpha horror person. Sure.
Yes. You need.
Yeah, that's true. The woman also, there are many women who facilitate.
Yes.
Bring the chairs to the middle.
Right. And you're going, you need a strong leader who's not embarrassed. Because I think there's like this thing of being Jewish because there's like all these levels. There's reform, there's conservative, mm-hmm. there's, you know, modern Orthodox, that you're like, oh, there's always, I don't want to act like I know more than I do.
Or I'm closer to them than maybe.
Right.
That's another, I mean, it's your brother's wedding, so I don't think
you need someone in the inner circle who's confident in their Judaism to be able to lead a horror.
Right. It would be weird if like at my wedding, you were like, facilitating the horror.
Right, because now I'm like, I'm the most Jew here. Step aside. I know what I'm doing.
Show.
Right. I would never do such a
thing.
Right.
Well, it sounds like you didn't even participate in your brother's.
I did participate. So they bring over, first of all, it started, the band did it a little too slow for me. It was like
Was it like a 10-minute long one? Sometimes they're a little too long.
I think we got to get to the goods a little quicker.
Quicker, okay.
Well, here's my other question. So we're all kind of like walking in a circle. It's not really moving that much.
Are there a lot of able-bodied men at this wedding? Or is it a lot of older men with back problems?
No, we had some, and again, it's not a 20-year-old wedding. It's a 30-year-old wedding.
Okay.
So a lot of grandparents are dead. We didn't have to deal with...
Right, the ideal situation.
Right, we had the ideal age. That's mine, yeah. Dead grandparents, people in relationships. But then also, a lot of the guys have had it. We've done it. There weren't any young bucks in their 20s to jump up there. Also, they brought out the chairs. They were like couches. It was like... It was
too big. Okay.
The chairs... Way too big. This is an oversight. I was like, these chairs are unbelievably heavy. They weren't, it's got to be like a
you
sturdy
need like a fold
out
like
chair.
A folding chair.
No, these were like couches. And I, being the brother,
adds to the weight. Yeah.
Right. I, being the brother, got in there because I'm like, they can't be like, where's Jared? And I'm off on the side.
Right.
So I got in there to go hold him up.
Oh, so you did go?
On this one.
Okay.
I generally back away.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
With the,
that
I'm
was
Billy
my
Zay.
Question. Like, were you?
Oh, I was in there.
Okay, you got in there. I'm
but
proud.
It got to the point where it was so heavy that you were like, okay, enough already. Like, it's like, and then they bring up my dad and mom, and then they bring up her dad and mom.
Oh, no.
And then...
I think there should be an only bride and groom policy for this shit.
I'm with you. Like, let us
we can't
have
be doing the,
moment. The
whole family. Bride and groom, you're done.
Also, we got to get... The circle
Did
dance has to have... No! Her one sister sat in the couch. I go, enough. Oh, we've done. No.
You gotta feel out the situation. You gotta
it was,
feel it
the
out.
Chairs were so heavy. I thought about was the mistake of how heavy the chairs were, and we did it too early. It's gotta be circle up, then get them.
The bride and groom, I think, get like a full minute. Everyone else, I would say, unnecessary. But if you're gonna do them, 20 seconds each.
And the peak has to be them up in the chairs. We don't start with them in the chairs. We're dancing, and it's gotta get so crazy. Right. We're like, bring in the chairs.
Wait, they got it too early.
It was too early. Mistakes all around. And I think because my mom would probably be the one that would lead.
Okay.
But she flubbed the prayer over the bread. Lost all our confidence.
She flubbed it?
It was a bad showing.
Usually
we had to
like
redo
the oldest
it.
Man who's doing
we
that.
Did that. Uncle Marty insulted.
he realized
his age that night.
A very progressive family.
Yeah, female rabbi, that's right.
Wow.
That's how us Freeds operate.
You love women.
Love women. We're women first.
Okay.
Women and children and me on the lifeboat.
Wow.
Yeah, right, well. I'm sorry to, trash this wedding so much.
No, I think, this is a small part. It's like one song.
It's
I
was the just, one review.
I just wanted to know if you got in there, but I think
I got it. I got in there this time. I generally, I go, let the he-men in.
It's
I'll,
funny.
I'll chill.
Mike isn't even Jewish, but at all the weddings, once the men are like going, I'm like,
get
I'm
in
like,
there.
Why don't you get in there? And he's like, I'm okay.
Right. I'm actually for that. That's like when people are like, now bow your head for the prayer.
Yeah.
Like if I'm at a whatever.
Yeah.
You know, like eyes open. I'm staring at the whole table.
Well, I guess he would agree with you on that.
Right. I'm not asking him to hold a chair.
Right.
And don't ask me to bow my head for Friday night, prayer.
He would only do it if there was absolutely no one else. But he really doesn't like to.
I'm with him. I think it's an injury waiting to happen.
In the beginning, I'm like, aren't you trying to impress me? No. Get in there.
He's trying to add standards and barriers. He's trying to let you know what his line is.
I have back problems. Right?
What would be more embarrassing than if I came in here on crutches after the wedding and you were like, what happened?
To host
I'm like,
your sister-in-law.
I tore my Achilles doing the horror. Like, I don't need that in my life.
Right.
That's the problem with a wedding in the 30s.
That's true. Too many...
Lose the 22-year-old men that are trying to show off.
That's true.
What a funny thing to try and show off with, though.
Right, that you can hold a chair with 16 other men. Impressive. 50 high school senior girls descend on Mobile, Alabama every summer to compete for a massive cash prize. It isn't Survivor. It's one of America's most lucrative scholarship competitions for teen girls. It's been around for 7 decades. Now you'll hear what took place behind the scenes. From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery comes The Competition. Host Shima Oliai was Nevada's contestant 20 years ago. Now she's returning as a judge to find out what 2 weeks with 50 of the country's most ambitious teens can tell us about girlhood in America. What happens when the competitors are thrown into the deep end with the best and brightest? And how does surviving the competition prepare them for everything that comes after? Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can binge all episodes of The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus. Do you want a bra that's sexy or a bra that's comfortable? Thanks to Third Love, you can have both. Third Love was started to take all the frustration, ick, and ugh out of bra shopping. That's why they make solutions for every bra problem, aka problems. Their bras make it easy to bring back perkiness you haven't seen since high school, get smoothing you know where, and have straps that actually stay put. Designed at their headquarters in San Francisco and made from premium materials, they put every style through hours of wear testing on real women, including themselves, before it's given the stamp of boob approval. Comfort and support are guaranteed. Plus, whether you're a double A cup or an H cup, their virtual fitting room will help you find your perfect fit fast. They even invented half cups. No more feeling stuck between two cup sizes that don't fit. It's time to get your problems solved. Visit thirdlove.com and get $15 off your order with code PODCAST15.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Right. What are we talking about today?
Let's do an icky or picky.
We love this. Icky or picky, he bails from the horror. No.
that is a good one. Yeah. All right. J&J Feather Feather. I'm looking forward to a first date with a woman after a fun banter on Hinge. Even though she's hot and her profile shows similar interests, I came very close to not tapping the heart button because of her name. Worse than Darlene, it's my mom's name.
Ooh.
Jared, from your impressions, I think our moms went to Jewish mom school together. Is this icky or picky?
Okay.
Jordana, icky or picky if a man never calls you Jordana because it's his mom's name. Especially during sex, I don't know if I could bring myself to say it. LOL.
What do you think? This is one of those things that, like, once that, like, if I was lifting up my brother and his wife in the horror chairs and she had the same name as my mom, we'd be so far past it. Like no one would care.
Yeah.
You know, no one would be at the wedding going, same name as the mom. Yeah. How are they fucking?
I don't think
you
it's know? A big deal.
Like, it's not a big deal at all. And it's picky.
I think it's picky too. It's like the same name as your mom. I can understand not liking someone's name, but the having the same, I don't think it's like that. I mean,
also, I think it's an overplayed thing. It's an easy, like a, it's an easy hot take to have. It's not a, you hear this a lot. Like the idea that like, I mean, he's referencing the special where I talk about a name being too old.
Right.
I remember having, that's a true story though. I remember swiping and being like, Darlene, I'm not going to date a Darlene. What am I, 80? And, but it's not like I would ever, you know, the whole, the bit, if you go watch, you know, farther in, if I was to meet a Darlene in person, I would probably would give them a chance, them. You know? Yeah. So it, I've never said someone's name in bed and thought of the other person with that name.
I agree, because there's so many people. There's also, like, you know, usually so many people with any particular name that you're thinking about the person in front of you.
Right. So it's kind of like just one of those takes that, like, you know, I never buy it from the person.
I agree. I mean, my mom's second husband, my dad, his name is John, and her son is named John.
Okay.
So different from her first husband.
Okay. So
she got over it.
Yeah.
No one thinks about it.
Right. The person is, the name is not just a top of the sheet thing. It's who they are. You know. Yeah. Yeah. So no, this is picky.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Let's do an email.
Okay. You want to read it?
I'll read it. Dear J&J, I, 30, have been dating my boyfriend, 33, for about 9 months. Met his parents for the first time last week. From the very start, his mom has been against our relationship, even sending him an email outlining all of our concerns. In preparation, that's brutal. Can you imagine?
I mean, that's someone dedicated
to getting rid of you.
Yeah. If you're writing an email about anything, you're dedicated to making a point.
Yes. In preparation, my boyfriend said he would. This would be like going to the dentist. You know, it's going to suck, but you still have to do it 1 to 2 times a year. I don't know if that's my strategy. I would try and like get them to sit together and discuss whatever issue it is. Especially,
I kind of get it. Well, maybe he has a bad relationship. He's not close to his parents. He has a bad relationship. But he doesn't want to be estranged. But he's like, I'm going to put in 1 or 2 meetups a year because I don't want to be estranged.
And I, okay, because she writes, he is not close to his parents and pretty much just grins and bears with it when their opinions come, when it comes to their opinions, which often differ as they are first generation Indian immigrants with traditional values that he doesn't share. At the end of this trip, his mom let him know that she had the following issues.
Let's hear it.
1, my job as a speech therapist.
Are you his mother?
I told him he will not date this woman. That's crazy. I make a lot of fun speech pathologists on this show. Yes. And I get the judge. She writes, sorry, Jared. And I do agree with his mom. She shouldn't date her. But it is insane.
That's a crazy. Yeah.
That's a crazy. I agree. This is crazy.
It's a crazy thing to put in writing.
No, this person with a job and doing a career yeah, should, it's crazy. My job is speech therapist, sorry Jared, and that I will never earn as much as him, a future radiologist. Keep in mind, for the first 6 years of our relationship, I'll be making more while he completes residency. That statistic doesn't even matter.
Not relevant.
Yeah. 2, I didn't help out around the house enough while on the vacation.
I'd like to hear the specifics.
Right. What did you not do?
Right. Maybe that's something she's like trying to make. Everyone has their own bar for whatever that is.
But it's so vague that it's like, I got you no matter what.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
you're
it wasn't
right.
Like she, you know, she never offered once to help clear the table.
Right. That's a different thing.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I didn't. I'll do it next time.
Right.
I mean, that's someone negotiating with you. The third is, I'm heavy for my age.
That's fucked up.
I mean, that's crazy.
That's crazy. It's also interesting that he shared this email with her.
He's really sharing a lot with her.
Yeah.
Like the idea that
open.
The mom wrote an email before they met.
Right.
For context, he understands his parents are brutal.
Maybe.
Okay. For context, I'm a pure bar instructor. I eat healthy. You don't have to defend.
Right,
I'm sure you're great.
Yeah.
And I'm somewhere between petite and average size. All that said, weight and food have been an insecurity of mine since I can remember. So this one hit hard. I'm sorry. These are the things she said to my boyfriend, which he then relayed to me. Before the trip, I told him I wanted to know what she thought. After hearing this, we decided honesty is not always the best policy.
I would have been a lot more vague than him in relaying what she thought.
Well, let's start with your weight. It's just so crazy. I would never.
That's crazy. Like, even if someone asks you for the truth, I'm surprised he didn't like
this.
Well, this in and then make it more digestible, even if he thought it was crazy.
Well, that's why I think he hates his parents too.
Right. It sounds like that's like what I would show someone if I was trying to have someone hate my parents also.
Right. After hearing this, we decided honesty is not always the best policy. His response to his mother was to assure her that I work out regularly. good. I guess this is all fixed.
Problem
solved. And one thing he likes about me is that we can actually exercise together. And that was that.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that we don't have to change the weights on the squat rack when we go to the gym. Isn't this great?
This email gets weirder and weirder.
Yeah. As of now. This isn't a deal breaker because I love my boyfriend and besides his crazy mom, I have no other concerns about our future going forward. But I have to wonder, should this be a deal breaker? I think if he was super close to his parents, it would absolutely be. But since he doesn't want to spend time with them any more than I do, does it really matter? Would love to hear your thoughts. Sincerely, a supposedly broke, lazy, and heavy bitch. Oy. I'm sorry she's going through this. This is crazy.
Yeah, this sounds insane. Parents sound crazy.
What do you think?
But he also sounds a little crazy to me too.
He sounds a little like callous, you know, like it sounds a little like he's
not understanding. But she also seems like she's okay. My issue with him is not that he has parents who do this, because you can't control who your parents are, right?
Right.
So like, this is whatever. You're dealt your lot in life. His parents are like this. I think the issue is the way he's responding to his parents, justifying why your weight is okay. When right. you should say, like, it's not okay for you to talk about someone that I'm in love with like that to right. me. And if you continue to do that, I'm not going to see you.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like already not close to them. To me, that's what I would need from someone. Especially if you're going to tell me what the email said. It's one thing if you just like kind of like
hide it.
Yeah. Not that I'm saying that's necessarily the move, but I would understand if he didn't tell me about it. And then again, you have to be like the most self-aware person in these situations where you have crazy parents. You have to say, my mom is a huge bitch.
Mm-hmm.
She's says horrible things that I would never agree with. And I've told her they're horrible things. I feel weird not being estranged from them because they are my parents. So I'm still going to see them if you could get through it, whatever, but I'm not going to let anyone talk to you or disrespect you like that. Cause that's a boundary I have.
Right. She didn't say this to her though.
No, I think she should say that to him.
No, but I'm saying, right. But I'm saying like, he shouldn't be relaying the mother's saying nothing of this to her. They're all to him.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way she knows about this is because he's told her instead of.
Which makes me think she would say it to her face though. She hasn't even met her yet.
No, they've met.
Oh, they did meet.
They've met now on the vacation.
Okay.
Oh,
right. They met and then she said, what do you think? What does she mom think of me?
Well, let me get out the email. It's like, so I.
What would you do in this scenario? You bring your new girl on vacation. Your mom meets her. She writes you this email afterwards. Your girlfriend's like, so what'd your mom think?
It's not relatable to me because my mom wouldn't know how to write me the email. it is relatable in a certain way of this, like, trying. It seems
here's
like,
my assessment.
Also, he says, oh, they're traditional. That's why I don't talk to them. But then he's acting very traditional with them.
Right. He's not standing up to them.
Right. He's trying to keep all. It's like he's got fingers in all the holes in the boat.
Yeah. It would be a turnoff to me. That's what I'm saying.
Right. Like, she seems to not be turned off yet.
Well, she seems to be like, it doesn't matter because he's great. But I think the way that you interact with people who disrespect, the way that like the person that you're with, your significant other, mm-hmm. like defends you or like makes sure other people respect you,
right.
I think is a very important thing for seeing how they're going to respect you down the line.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you let someone say these things about me now, I think you're a hop, skip, and a jump of you saying those things about me. Because you think it's okay to say those things about me.
Right.
For someone to say them.
You're
defending why I'm thin enough for you to them. Right. When that shouldn't be the defense. The defense should be like, why would you say those things about someone that I like care about?
Why is he so honest with her?
He's too honest.
He's like, I do have a moment of pause where I'm like, she did go to event and she felt comfortable and then goes, so what did she think? I know but she knows so much now that the water, hay's in the barn, water's under the bridge.
Right.
Like it's not going to change. But I'm just saying like, I agree with what you're saying. I think it would be best for him to go, what you're saying is wrong, but he's trying to keep this, is being cordial insulting to an older.
You're saying he thinks he's being respectful.
I think he thinks that. And I think he's thinking, let her say whatever the fuck she wants. I don't have to, you know, just as long as she doesn't say it to her face. But then he's saying it to her face. Right. Like, why is he doing this?
I agree. There's something weird about his, like, the whole way that he's handling this.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. It's like he's trying to be respectful to people who don't respect him. If I were to like, if I respect you, I'm not going to say those things to you about someone that you're
But that
dating.
To me is a very traditional relationship with like a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're the parents.
Well, then
they say whatever they want to you and you kind of figure out. I think that's like a very new age way to go about parent. Like,
right. Well, then she has to figure out if she's okay with someone who has that relationship with their parents.
Right.
I understand the idea of respecting someone's traditions.
right. But
if this was about the Hora, I would understand it. But if the family tradition is you telling me that I'm fat and uneducated, I don't think that I'm signing up for that.
Right.
That's if that's part of the tradition.
Well, I guess, like, do you think he's telling her all this because what if it slips that his mom says something to her in the future, and at least she knows the mom is an asshole?
Right, but if that happened, I would expect him to say something in that moment.
Right, and then you've already prepared for that by not, like, saying anything ever.
If you dated someone whose parents, like, said mean shit to you, wouldn't you expect them to defend you? Or tell someone that they couldn't speak to you like that?
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't expect it. Mm-hmm. I would expect them to figure out a way to make it all work. Like, okay. You know, like, I would expect them to be in a tough position to, one, keep the people they love happy, and two, translate to them that this isn't the right way to, like, work. I would understand the complicated nature of it. I mean,
I would understand if someone didn't like someone for, like, real, genuine reasons. Even the helping people out around the house.
That's like, if it was just
that. Has the most legs to it. Let's say it was about that. I just really didn't feel like this person was considerate. I didn't feel like this. To me, the most, if it's your kid, the only valid criticisms would be about the way that you see them treating them.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like, you know, you were your best self around them. I didn't feel like they were speaking to you nicely.
Mm-hmm.
To say it's about, like, their weight or their job or, these other things, to me, it does seem like, to even, like, entertain that, to me, I would be worried that person would internalize that.
Mm-hmm. They'll believe it at some point. It's tough. Like, I don't know. I mean, the fact that he doesn't like them 1 to 2 times a year, we deal with it.
Right. But
that would sit with me every year. I guess I would be.
To me, I would be like, okay, if that's the case, then you're not that close. There's not that much to lose here.
Right. Like, why don't you defend me?
Yeah. Have your boundaries, because, like, what's the worst that could happen? They see you once a year instead of twice a year.
Well, what's the worst that could happen? In his mind, it's I lose my whole identity, my culture,
but that'll be their decision.
My connection to my people, especially if this is like an interracial, intercultural, whatever, you know,
I just feel like by responding to it, he's justifying the fact that she's saying it by her saying he's explaining her, her weight to them, the healthiness of it. Right. It's even like justifying.
No, her BMI. It's like actually.
That's what I'm saying. He's like justifying even like the notion that should be.
Right.
Okay.
And end it over this? Is it a deal breaker?
I think I would express, like, it depends on, like, I think we would have to have, like, a real conversation about it.
Right.
And if he felt like that was, like, going to be okay for him, I might end it.
She wrote in because it's a problem.
Right. She's pretty even-handed
about this. Like, the way she writes in isn't really angry. You know, it's just like, what do you guys think?
Well,
it's
she, like, also seems like she's already internalizing it. She's like, I'm a pure bar instructor, and, like, that's not even by means of defending these things. I'm a speech pathologist. Like, I'm going to be making more than him. Like, it's already making her feel bad.
Right. Right. It's already,
by defending something, you're giving it any kind of merit.
Right.
Almost. So to me, it would be like the fact that the person I love is also giving it merit by defending it would be the most annoying.
And I could understand from her point of view. Well, ending it, like, you're making me look at myself a different way. You're making me, like, make all these exceptions.
Like, right.
No, but I'm an instructor. I swear I'm within the.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. You're right.
I think I'd be out unless, like, he could draw the line somewhere. You could do that respectfully. Draw the line respectfully. You could say, listen, I understand this is, like, a cultural thing, or I understand that, like you have these fears.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure where they're coming from. This is not something that's going to be, like, okay with me. Like, I love this person. I can't have you speaking about them like that.
Right.
It doesn't have to be, like, a mean fuck off thing.
Now that it's out there, you can't forget it.
That's what I'm saying.
So it has to be addressed.
Yeah.
At this point. If he had kept it in, I don't know how long he could have kept that up with someone he loves.
Right. It is funny that he told her everything.
Everything. But maybe that's a good thing. Yeah. If you want to go listen to an episode about this, we had Nimesh Patel on, who talked about he's married, intercultural relationship. And he had similar, arguments with people. There's about not the similar, but yeah, if you go back and listen to it, it's a good episode to listen to. Nimash was great.
It's a good example of also, in my opinion, how you would want someone to respond to speaking negatively about you as a significant other.
Yeah. No, I think, I don't know if we solved dating.
We got close.
We got close.
Maybe next time. Next time we'll solve it.
We solved the horror.
Yeah, we did. This is your full etiquette breakdown of the horror.
Just weigh those chairs.
It's important.
It's important. Right. Back next week. Boom.
Bye. The U Up Podcast is produced by Jorge Morales Pico, Sean Kilby, and Candice Maniga. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico and Shannon Sassone. Social media by Candice Maniga. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at u.up.podcast on Instagram and send us your emails to uup@betches.com.
Betches.